Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Good Friday to you. We're going to get you into the weekend with good, bad, and dumb. Let's get the good of the day.
Good of the day. Here's, you know, it can only go to one man. It can only go to one person after what some of the things I read yesterday, and that's Bears owner George McCaskey.
Okay.
I'm giving him the good of the day. Why? He was the only owner to vote against expanding international games.
The only owner to vote to say we're not taking this anymore around the world.
Yeah. Because okay. I don't know if you know this, Tony, but starting in 2025... the international games will go from 4 games a year to 8 games
a year.
That's
silly. That's absolutely silly.
And he was the only owner that said that. Now, quote, he did have this to say, which I thought was awesome. We have generational talents coming in. Fans want to see Patrick Mahomes coming in. They want to see Josh Allen coming in. They want to see Jalen Hurts coming in. They want to see Tommy DeVito coming in.
He did say Tommy DeVito?
He did say Tommy DeVito.
How great is that? Good for
and
him.
And as one source in the meeting said, it was the best line of the entire meeting.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
He did pause a little bit for laughter, which I like.
He makes a very good point, right? Like my parents, they retired to Florida, and my father's a big Giants fan. And I told him, I said, you really should take weekends, go down to Miami when the Giants are in Miami, go to Jacksonville when the Giants are in Jacksonville. Now, the Giants will be in Tampa Bay a few times, and he's gone twice to see them in Tampa Bay just to play the Buccaneers. But you know the only times he can see them play Jacksonville is once every 8 years.
Yeah.
Right? In Miami, once every 8 years. So now he just wants to see his football team as he's living in retirement. But imagine if you are a transplant who lives in Dallas, and you want to see the Steelers, which would be a really tough thing to do, but nevertheless.
Yeah, I mean,
you'd only get to see that game once every 8 years. What if the year that they were scheduled to come to your town, they're playing in Dublin?
Right.
Like, you would, like, this is not, I get it, but at the same time, make sure you're careful which games you're sending out. I would not do this willy-nilly if I was the league. I would say, look, send games amongst take two AFC opponents and go. Take two NFC opponents and go. Don't do this where you are you're creating an environment where fans don't get to see a really good football player coming to their stadium because we've shipped it to Madrid.
Right.
Make sure it's a game that, like, they would get. They might get next year.
For instance,
I'm not saying a divisional game. Those are kind of valuable, but I mean.
Right. But for instance, though, right, like, using your dad as an example because he's a Giants fan. What if this was the only time he wanted to see Tommy DeVito on the hype train?
Right.
8 years from now, Tommy DeVito may be long gone.
That's right. That's right.
Or Tommy DeVito may have had a stellar career, but now he's on the back end of it, and now you're seeing the former shell of Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you want to see Patrick Mahomes, if you're a young kid and you want to see Patrick Mahomes in Tampa, you're going to see him once every 8 years. So if you know, who knows when that's coming back up on the schedule, but the reality is that's the dilemma that fans have who live in other markets. They don't get to see their team visit their city if it's a conference against conference. So again, if you're the league, make sure you're sending the right games overseas, and you don't have to give them the superstar game. That's what I don't understand.
Well, my other issue is with this, right? What is the end game to this other than, you know, hey, drawing new fan base for more money?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I mean, they're not going to start a league or anything, are
right.
they? I mean, are they really going to invest
done
in
NFL
a European
Europe.
League? We've done that.
We've done NFL
right?
Europe.
We've done it. I mean, it's been done today. It's still, I think it's still going on in a small level.
Is it?
Not as a big level, but it's still, I think it's still going on in a smaller level.
And you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, you know, because we always say, oh, Jacksonville, they would probably be the first team to move to London because of all their ties. And the fact, I think they have two home games.
Well, some
there
have said
year.
That. I have never said that. But I've never bought that idea.
But
that,
you know, we've talked about it.
Team.
What we've talked about is, like, how would this work logistically?
Yeah,
it can't.
I've said this for years. People don't understand it. This isn't a computer simulation. This is real people with real lives and real schools and real citizenship and whatever it may take. Right? It's not as simple as just planning a team in London and going, yeah, we have a team in London. Yay! Right?
Who would go there?
who would go there as a free agent? Is it attractive as a free agent? Is it more attractive to play there tax-wise or less attractive to play there tax-wise? That's the question you'd ask at every stop.
And then,
look, Major League Baseball has that problem in Canada. They have the Canadian teams where the tax rate is enormous, and sometimes people don't want to go to Toronto to play for the Blue Jays, or an NBA player want to play for the Raptors.
Well, I mean, you're just thinking of the players. What about the crew?
The crew, yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, we, you know, the NFL has, hundreds. Just one team has hundreds, if not, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of people working for them.
Right.
You're going to relocate all of them, or are you just going to grab Londoners and go, hey, do you know our league?
Yeah, do you want to work in PR in the NFL and not know the intricacies of media in the United States? And
Ted
having
Lasso,
press conference at different time zones and different times?
Ted Lasso worked, but remember, that was a TV show.
It's a TV show. I know, that's the fantasy. that's the problem, is that every time I bring this realistic thought to people, they stop and they go, you know what, you're right. Because we live in this sort of plug-and-play world, right? Where you, why not have a team in London? Sure. Well, okay. Again, what about travel? Again, same thing. What about press conferences? You're going to want to set your press conference at a time that you can reach the American market, right? Because if I'm a reporter that's covering the Giants and they're going to play the London Jaguars, I'm not flying to London for the press conference. I'm tuning in. That's what they all do. They dial into the press conference because they're trying to get information on the opposing team for the story. So are you running it at noon and that's 6 a.m. New York time? Or are you going to run it at 6, which is noon New York time? How are you going to work that?
Or what are you going to
do? Now are you going to miss the deadline for the publications in London because you're running late press conferences? Like, there's a whole bunch of
things. Are you doing early?
Here.
What if it's an early morning meeting, 8 a.m.?
Right?
You're asking someone to get up at 2?
So that is
there's a lot of
huge.
Different things. But
I'm glad. But again,
George McCaskey.
That goes to the end game. But the reality is you be careful, NFL. I get it. It's fun. It's fun to go overseas. It's fun. It's fun when you're there
and you're the star
of the show and everybody loves you.
I love the video coming out of Germany. I love waking up and having a game on at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. You know, I love that. I love that on a Sunday morning. But I don't know, eight. I mean, how many different teams want to give up a home game?
That's right. That's the dilemma. The dilemma is, are you taking your fans for granted at a time where people think that the league is too soft and too into politics and like a lot of things that are making fans go, you know what? The league is ticking me off in this way, this way, this way. How many times are you going to say to the fans, oh, that's okay, you'll buy it. The ratings show nothing. The ratings are great. The ratings are still awesome. But there's a tipping point, and be really careful. Be really careful because you can't be you can't do it. You can't do a million of these. You know, you can't go to London 17 times a year. Like, eventually it wears on people. It wears down.
Well, and I feel like that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
You know, we're going from
London
four.
London gets a game of the week every week.
Right.
You know, or something
we're
like that.
We're going from just four to eight. All right. So that means what? We're probably going to London four times now. Maybe five. Maybe Germany gets two. Sao Paulo gets one. You said Dublin. Maybe Dublin gets one. Hey, we haven't gone to Rome or Madrid yet. Let's try
there. Well. Yeah. Keep it rolling. Mexico City is still in play, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe not now. Maybe they're Mexico City's losing their game to Brazil. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows?
And then it's just a matter of time before we go to Tokyo.
That's what we talked about this yesterday. That's what I'm concerned about, is having a regular season game in Tokyo. At what time do we have to wake up in Tokyo? Or how late do we have to stay up to watch a game in Tokyo?
Yeah.
But, you know.
All right, real quick, the bat of the day.
Then we can move it over to the next segment. So
that's right.
I get on my little international soapbox too much.
the bat of the day is that this might be a controversial take by me, and I might be ostracized from my home state of California, but Idaho opened up their first In-N-Out. The line was 8 hours long.
Yeah.
Now, I will put In-N-Out burgers against any fast food chain. I'll even put them up against those semi-fast food chains like Five Guys. But I can't wait 8 hours for a burger.
No, I won't.
They're
opening one here in Tennessee, and I'm not interested in waiting.
Yeah, just wait.
All that time.
Wait.
Yeah, I can get it later.
They opened, when they opened them up in here, the line was like 2, 3, 4 hours long. They had people from Louisiana coming there.
That's insane.
I waited.
You waited? How long did you wait?
I probably waited like a good month or two.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't wait in line.
Oh, no, I didn't wait. Okay. No.
You waited a month or two. Yeah, same thing.
I was like, you know what? I know how good In-N-Out is. I'm dying to have it, but it'll wait. I mean, the line's always long anyways. You know, once it's in routine and it's normal, it's always going to be like a could be anywhere from a 15 to 20 minute wait, 30 minute wait sometimes.
When my wife and I lived in Vegas, we lived right next to one, and it used to drive me crazy because I used to go there all the time.
Yeah,
and you can't eat it all the time. I would go there constantly. We would go there all the time. We didn't want to cook. We're like, let's go to In-N-Out.
Yeah, no, that's affordable. It's good.
Too much. All right, we'll get the bad coming up next.
You don't have many choices.
That's right.
It is what it is.
The dumb. I'm starting to say bad. The dumb is coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb as we roll along this morning on Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. If you want to give him a little thought on Thursday Night Football last night, Al Michaels seemed to be a little bit more into it last night, kind of ripping the Chargers.
A little bit, but then, you know, people started criticizing him when the big man scored a touchdown on the fumble.
Yeah, that's right. He wasn't as overly enthusiastic.
But at that point, who can be enthusiastic?
No, what are you going to do when it's
that was
a touchdown to make it 56 to nothing or 7?
56-7.
56-7. What are you going to do?
I mean, you sit back and you just, I mean, the only thing you can do is just chuckle.
They said at one point he ran 17 miles an hour. Did that look like 17 miles an hour?
No, I think they were wrong.
They were saying like all this, because Kirk Herbstreit goes, try to put your treadmill on. My treadmill doesn't go up to 17 miles an hour, I don't think, at the gym I'm at.
I think players were messing with him. He was definitely running in slow motion.
He was bumbling, and nobody chased him. That's the Chargers.
I'm
not going to do a Leon Lett thing.
Let him score.
I'm not going to go in infamy as the – I don't want to be in a video of coaches around the country going, see, he never gave up on the play. I'm not interested in that world.
Does anyone ever really remember Don Beebe as a good wide receiver? No.
Yeah.
No, not anymore. We only think of him as, he was the guy who chased down Leon Lett.
That's right. There was a college game where a player went after a guy – and he went after, made a tackle, and he missed. And his momentum propelled him to like the 5 yard line. And the punt returner was running down the field, caught a break, and the guy ran from the five yard line, and caught him and pushed him out of bounds at the 2 yard line. And people are like highlighting, here's where he is right here. Here's where the punt returner is, and it's made video rounds.
They've done that with DK Metcalf.
That's right.
Up to, I think it was Buda Baker.
Yeah, that's right. So let's get to the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day? All right. This is one of those where I'm reserving.
Besides
the right...
last night's football game. I know. I had to throw that in there.
But no, this is one of those dumbs where I'm reserving the right to change my mind. Because you'll understand. Because I think you're going to be on the same page as me, all right? But yesterday I saw a movie preview. I don't know if you saw it, Tony. But they are coming out with a Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Are they really?
Next summer, coming to Netflix, Beverly Hills Cop Axel F.
So we now have a Hollywood industry that thinks the only thing children of the 80s care about is nostalgia.
Is regurgitating.
That's it.
Regurgitating. Regurgitate, regurgitate. There is a movie executive... A studio executive that's the only thing he says. He wrote on the whiteboard, regurgitate. That's it.
It's
now.
And we keep doing it because we keep making these nostalgic movies money.
Yeah.
We now, keep having, saying, sure, why not?
Having said that, watch the preview.
Is the preview good?
I'm kind of excited.
I guess I will see it.
It is the 80s kid in me that's excited because, I mean, obviously Eddie Murphy is returning as Axel Foley. You do have Judge Reinhold coming back. You do have John Ashton coming back.
So that's good.
You have Taggart and Rosewood together again. You do have Paul Reiser The Detroit detective, Axel's buddy, coming back.
Okay.
And obviously, you can't have Beverly Hills Cop 4 without Serge.
Well, of course, Bronson Pinchot better be in this movie.
Yeah, and you soon see him in a brief clip.
He's very good.
I'm not sure who the antagonist is, but Kevin Bacon and Joseph Gordon-Levitt are also in this movie.
Taggart was close to retirement in 1984.
You know, sometimes they just... You try to get out, but they just pull you back in. How old is he at
40 years ago? What is he doing at 80? He looked like a 40-year-old man in the Beverly Hills Cop 1.
Let's see. He was born in 1948. So, what is that?
That's 75 years old. What are we talking about here? What's he going to do effectively as a 75-year-old cop?
I don't know. But this could be his last role, Tony.
So we
need to celebrate it.
My goodness.
And I'm glad Judge Reinhold's getting some love. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't done anything since the Santa Claus movies.
Santa Claus movies, yeah. I haven't seen him in anything else.
But I'm going to assume, because the way he's been portrayed in a lot of films lately, is that Kevin Bacon is the bad guy.
Yeah, okay. Kevin Bacon. Although, makes a good bad guy when he's a bad guy.
Yeah, although he is a detective. And for a lot of these guys, now they get to be one away for the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
All right, so now we've got a lot of problems with this, and I think that I get it. Movies are businesses. They're not art. They're businesses. You make a movie, you can claim it's art, but in the end, the goal is tickets. That's box office. That's what matters to people, right? Sometimes films do get made, though, because they need to be. They want to be made, and there's enough money in the budget to make a film. And if you sit on cash, you're gonna get taxed on it, so you might as well put it into something.
Yeah.
So sometimes films get made, smaller films get made. That's where you get the avant-garde films. This is where you get some of the Oscar ones. But the reason they get that is because the studio is making things that are going to just make box office money. Now, I'm not saying that we're not done. We don't have original movies, but I feel like the only thing Hollywood sees in a guy like me is, what did you like as a kid? 'Cause we're bringing it back. Like I know you and I have had talks about like toy movies. Look, I played with toys when I was a kid. I don't play with toys now.
Right.
So I don't give me a G.I. Joe movie. I'm not interested. I'm not a child. Don't give me a He-Man movie. I'm not a child. But I know people would. I know that they don't. They go, Tony, fine. But there's 5 million people that would. That's the problem.
Yeah. Right? Like I said, I mean, I think the other issue that we're going to run into is that now that you have movie streaming platforms, making this film, it doesn't matter what happens on in the box office.
That's right. That's 100% true.
You know, they've already made their money if it's coming out on Netflix, right?
And you're right. And here's the other thing. A guy like me, I may not go see this in the theater.
No.
I'm very,
you
very
wouldn't
picky.
At all, no.
Of movies I go see in the theater. Like, look, when I was young, I'd go see anything. Now I'm like, look, it's expensive. I want to make sure I'm having a good time. The film's got to be highly rated. Like, it's got to have good reviews. I'm not going to go see some rom-com in a theater because I know it's going to be out in 10 seconds.
Yep.
And I'll be able to stream it. But this is one of those, hey, you know what? I got nothing to do on a Tuesday evening. Axel Foley, boom, done.
Why wouldn't I want to watch Foley again?
I got nothing else I'm doing, right?
And that's where the nostalgia hits. It's where,
that's
where
it
you
is.
Sit there and go, God, you know. Well, you know, for the first two, I don't. That third one's still.
Third one, I don't even remember the plot.
Yeah, I just remember amusement park,
right?
And him jumping on a Ferris wheel. That's
all I really remember.
But the first two, there was a point in time I could recite it line by line, especially number two, and the alphabet bandit or killer
right.
or whatever
yeah.
it was. I mean, I could recite that one. I watched that one over and over and over again.
So that's where the nostalgia hits.
And that's where the nostalgia hits, where I can't wait. I'm like, all right, what fresh jokes do we have for number four?
Yeah. So, wait. Well, Eddie Murphy's cruising along. He's still doing stuff.
He is.
So
he is. He's keeping his career going.
Keeping his career going. So there you go. There you go, Hollywood.
Yeah.
So what's next? Am I going to get a?
I don't know.
What next can I? What? Because that's all I feel like they attack me on. They feel like they're like, you like Star Wars? Here's 100 Star Wars things. Oh, you liked Indiana Jones? Okay. Here's Indiana Jones at 80.
There is a rumor that I've heard that they're going back to the drawing board with Star Wars.
Of course they are. They paid $4 billion for it.
And they're going to redo the last three movies.
Oh, good.
I revamp the whole thing. Like, we're just ignore what you saw over here. We're going to do it this way instead.
Yeah,
you know, they're still going to have their TV shows.
But the larger
issue
isn't that. The larger issue is this is all they continue to give me.
Yeah,
they keep telling our generation, the original stuff. You like feeling like you're 15. You like feeling when you were 13. You like all these things that remind you of the hip hop 80s. Like that's all I get. Like that I feel like that's what they're coming down. Like I'm looking around streaming services. They brought back Frasier, for crying out loud.
Yes, they did.
Like, what the hell is this?
They did.
Like, for the love of Pete.
Night Court.
Like Night Court. Are you kidding me? Oh yeah, it's Harry Anderson's daughter that's on now. She's the judge.
Yeah.
John Larroquette hasn't found any work, so he gets to do this.
He's still what was he, the defendant?
Right.
The defending attorney.
I mean,
30 years.
That's what I'm worth to you? Like the only thing I can process is things that I processed when I was 15 years old?
Well,
like, take anything new and great and different.
Eddie Murphy's on a string, right? Because wasn't it this year Coming to America 2 came out? I still haven't
seen
that
one. Yeah, Coming to America 2 was just out a couple, not that long ago.
I still haven't seen that one.
Yeah, and that woman is still barking because he told him to bark. She told her to bark. She still was. The prince never told her to stop. It was so silly. It was so silly. I feel like in some ways I'm insulted. In some ways, I can't help but watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I'm going to watch it. I'm
going to watch Beverly Hills Cop 4.
All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.